John, the 11th chapter, I'll read some select verses. It's all about Lazarus. The 11th chapter of John's Gospel, verse 6, when Jesus heard, therefore, that Lazarus was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. There they bury them the same day, you know, and they still do. Let's go to verse 21. Jesus stayed there 2 days. Chapter 11, verse 21, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, he's there now. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, whatsoever you ask of God, God will give it thee. I've read that so many times, but it's not just a total statement of fatalism. There's a mixture here. And sometimes there's a mixture in all of us, you know. I believe, but help my unbelief, right? But we're not going to quit. We're not going to give up. Then in verse 2, then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, same thing, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother had not died. And when Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And then the shortest verse in the Bible is John 11:35. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave, and it was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he's been dead for 4 days. And Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou should see the glory of God? Then they took the stone away from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I know that thou hearest me always. Do you believe that? I know that you hear me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him, but some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. You've always got the mixed multitude. Even Jesus had a mixed multitude. Amen. Now I want to get your attention by giving this title what I want to share this morning, How to Raise the Dead. If you want to sign up for the class to hear it, just give me a wave, and that's your sign in there. How to raise the dead. The dead in you. The dead in your situation. The dead in your church. You say, well, what about the dead church? Well, let you be live and bring life. A better church begins with you, with me. The city. Many promises about our city. Your nation. You know, if you didn't have some concerns about our nation, you're just not thinking nowadays. But let me tell you something. We can't park there. We can't stop there. Who we are is needed more in the world today than at any other time. This church is needed more in this community now. Our church is like us than ever before. And I want to give you some things that God just spoke to my heart. In that time of visitation, how to raise the dead. There are situations in all of our lives, in all of these years, I have faced situations that weren't sick, they were dead. There was nothing I could do about it. The stone was rolled over the tomb. And there was nothing I could do. And how many times there's nothing you can do, it seems. But in this room today, there are resurrection testimonies all over this auditorium today. Business resurrection stories, physical resurrection stories, marriage resurrection stories. So the first thing that I would call to your attention is, know that there is a problem. Know that there is a problem or a great need. Lazarus is sick, and the message is sent to Jesus. And then Lazarus dies. Now, I'm going to be very frank with you. We have seen the dead raised in this ministry, but all dead are not to be raised. And that's a very delicate subject, especially if you've had a memorial service, so on. God is able to raise any dead that he desires to raise, but all dead, in fact, I often say it like this, most dead would not come back if they could, if they know Jesus. My gracious. But I understand there's that human understanding. But you see, there's a problem. Lazarus is sick. He doesn't think he's sick. He's sick. Something's wrong with Lazarus. It's apparent in a day when they didn't have all the sophisticated technical and ways and x-ray ways of getting into those things. Lazarus is sick. And they know there's a problem. And the word comes to Jesus. The word comes to Jesus and he stays there 2 days. I'm constantly amazed at folks I contact, they don't contact me back. But if something serious happens, they want you to contact immediately. But Jesus, he ought to know better. I mean, he knows everything. He's aware that his dear friend Lazarus is sick, and because he knows everything, he knows where it's going. But he stays there for 2 days, all right? First of all, know that there is a great need or a great problem. Something needs to be solved there. In raising the dead, number two, and this is true of any situation, start calling on the name of Jesus. Your first call should be Jesus. 1-800-JESUS. You don't need anything else. Our first call for help, our first panic call, our first 9/11 call ought to be to Jesus. So they started calling on Jesus. Let me just say in this room today, don't give up on Jesus. Jesus has not given up on you. Don't give up on Jesus. Don't give up on Jesus. I want to just say it emphatically. Don't give up on Jesus. So know that there's a great need or a great problem. I mean, there's something that needs the attention of the Lord. And number two, start praying. Of course, praying in faith, believing. Bible talks about us not using vain repetition. So how should we pray at that point? Well, we can pray in the Spirit. We pray as far as we know how to pray in the natural. But there are things that I don't know exactly how to pray about because God knows everything. So you can pray in the Spirit. That's one blessing of having received a prayer language with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. A third option there, and Jesus employed this, is groaning in the Spirit. Dr. John R. Rice, an uncommon Baptist minister, that his book, Asking and Receiving, has blessed my heart through the years. He said there are prayers that literally break the back of words. Have you ever prayed until you couldn't pray anymore? Have you spoken until there are no more words to be spoken? And all you can do is just weep or groan. And I know I'm talking about the advanced class of some things, but many of us have been there. Maybe all of us have been there. There's a time, there's no one to talk to. There's nothing else to say. There's no other script. You know, you've done everything you know how to do. And your spirit just groans. And Jesus' spirit groaned. And he wept. He groaned. But he wasn't groaning for the loss of Lazarus because he knew what was going to happen. He was groaning because of unbelief. We can listen to all the CDs and cassette tapes and Bible school and Pastor Bob Nichols and all the great whoever you hear in the Word of God. But let me tell you, friend, it all comes down to believing it and doing it. You got to hear and you got to believe what you hear, but you got to believe is the hand of faith that lays hold on the promise of God. I'm going to say that one more time. I've taught that for years in our Bible courses. Belief is the hand of faith that grabs a hold of the promise of God. And the third thing that please every one of these, dear Jesus, thank you for sharing these things with me. Believe that death of any situation is not denial. Some things get worse before they get better. Death is not denial. Amen. Oh, I want to say that again. Have faith. Have faith in God. Rejoice. The death of your dream or vision or what you wanted to be, should have been, could have been, ought to be. The death of that is, death is not denial. God's still on the throne. I tell you, I love the Old and the New Testament, but I tell you, we got our own Old and New Testament in the history of this house. I thought that 8 acres downtown was gone. I felt defeated. I felt like I'd failed the church. I'd failed God. But God let someone else pay the taxes on it for 13 years and then gave it back to us. And then it turned out to be the thing that jettisoned us into the greater things of God here. If we'd not had that 8 acres... the way God brought it back, it couldn't have worked out like it worked out downtown. Denials are not delays. I just want to emphasize that. Denials are not delays, are not denials of God. God knows more than we do. God's timing is perfect. God's clock is perfect. God's calendar is perfect. And ours often is flawed. We don't mean for it to be, but you see, no matter how bad things are, in 2 Kings 4, no matter how bad things were, the promise was given. The promise manifested, the son, but the promise died. Did you ever have a promise that seemed to die on you? I've had my share. But I'm here to tell you, delays are not denial. Hallelujah. Church, get a hold of this. Talking about raising the dead. Raising dead visions, dead dreams. Children that seem dead. Family situations that seem impossible. Denials. Don't associate those with delays. Believe that death is not now. Here's another one that's very important. Believe that our God has miracle working power. See, Satan will do everything in the world to try to work between the pages of your life and get you to believe that God doesn't care, that there is no miracle for you, that everyone else has a testimony, but you have to sit there and listen to everybody else's testimony. Just start rejoicing that delays are not denials. God has miracle working power. He can resurrect your finances. He can resurrect relationships that need to be resurrected. Some relationships need to be severed. There are people that are defeated all their life because of who they run with or hang around. There are some relationships. How can you lose a friend that you never had? I have to face that as a pastor over and over again. But oh, believe that God has miracle working power. Well, we heard it as a kid in school. God said, and the world came into being, and God's the sun, the moon, the stars. God created Adam and Eve. God parted the seas. God enabled a Samson to walk uphill with the gates of the city on his shoulders. How about that, LA? Come on. God has miracle working power. But here's another insight. Believe that even now, it's not too late for Jesus. See, there's where we get stuck. I know it's true, Pastor. I know it's the Word. I'll die by this Word. I know the Word of God is true. I believe I'm a Word person. Don't you understand? But there's more than just saying I'm a Word person. You believe it when it seems possible. You believe it when it seems impossible. You believe it uphill. You believe it downhill. You believe it on good days. You believe it on bad days. Even now, it's not too late for Jesus. Huh. You know, it's kind of interesting there because Martha, she said, oh, Lord, if you'd just been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now. You know, we dwell on that if you'd only been here. Yeah, and that's a large part of what I'm talking about. But she did put a P.S. there, even now. Even now. Hey, that's where we are, saints, even now. We're not in the past. Even now, headed for our future. Even now, it's not too late for Jesus. You know, Jesus can be late and be more on time than any of us could ever be. Also, to believe and feel and see the tender heart of the love, the mercy, the compassion of Jesus. We used to sing a song years ago, no one understands like Jesus. I know it may seem like heaven is cold sometimes because we don't get what we want immediately. But let me tell you, Jesus loves you. And it broke his heart that the hearts of Mary and Martha were broken. And the unbelief that seemed to surround. Because once the miracle locked in, then many believed. I knew he'd come through. Yeah, oh, no doubt in me. And yet there were those that did not believe. And you know, every congregation. Man, my prayer is, Lord, don't let one person leave any one of our public services without hearing the plan of salvation and having the opportunity of giving their hearts to Jesus. I've heard three or four things on television or radio recently. I mean, it almost made me want to get saved all over again and then just drop the ball. Why lead a horse to the water and not let him drink? What the gospel's all about is all this wonderful thing I'm talking about, but then give the plan of salvation, but then lead the... Yes, and you know, I've had people say, well, you know, that Roman road, that's just so boring. If it's boring, you need to get born again. If it's boring, something's terribly wrong. We don't have to make every one of our altar calls a hot fudge Sunday or a banana split. And it is wonderful. Really, it is. But you know, a salesman knows you can sell all day long, but until you close the deal, honey, ain't no deal. No property, no house, no product. You gotta close and seal the deal. And that's what these people are going out and doing. They're going out and not only witnessing and winning, but bringing them in. And I salute what God's doing in this house. Man, it would take a heart of stone. If I didn't even like me, I'd like to attend a church like this just to hear these testimonies. Just to hear these testimonies to see what God's doing. I don't think much of that preacher down there, but they sure have some miracles going on, and they're reaching a lot of people for Jesus. And where I've been, there's no altar calls, nobody coming to Jesus. Blink if you want someone to talk to you, maybe. Man, if I didn't even like me, I'd like to come to this church because good things are happening. I've never said that before. That's crazy. All right. Oh, see the tender heart. God cares. God cares. God looked down and saw the whole world was going to hell in a handbasket, but he saved Noah and his house by faith. Noah was spared and his family was spared from the flood. God cared about Noah. Lot made a faulty decision. Yet, when that terrible sin, you know, sometimes we don't realize what we're dealing with. Folks, we're being so dumbed down to where nothing makes us blink anymore. Just sleep where you want to sleep, drink what you want to sleep, run where you want to rub, do what. I mean, that's what even believers, this greasy grace is. And Brother Andrew, we were talking about that. A lot of people try and take my message and live any way. He said, that's not what I believe and that's not where I'm coming from. And I know that because I've known this couple. But I just, folks, God's at work. And God cares. God cares about your broken heart. God cares about what seems to be dead. God cares about what hasn't worked out. God cares. In fact, Jesus wept. Shortest verse in the Bible, but it happened. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who was in on the creation of all things, wept and groaned because of the unbelief. Oh, believe in the tender heart of the love of Jesus. Jesus wept. Boy, here's another one that's so very important. Listen to me, church. Boy, Satan would like to stop this soul winning outreach. He'd like to lock all four brakes if he could. But refuse to join the critic club about anything. I'm talking about raising the dead now. Refuse to join the critics club about anything. I'm talking about in the kingdom of God. Amen. Praise God. I want to say that again because it got kind of quiet on me here. Refuse to join the critic club about anything. You know, I tell you what, I'm not going to be a backbencher when God's on the front row. You understand what I'm saying? I'm all in to what God's doing. I am thankful. I am thrilled. I'm overwhelmed. I'm in awe. But refuse to join the critics about anything. Hallelujah. Urabakashi katai. And then here's one that I want all of you to hear. Join the Jesus Miracle Club. Join the Jesus Miracle Club. It's not too late with Jesus. John 11:40, Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, you should see, if you would believe. See, there's the key right there. No matter what has happened, even though Lazarus has died, if you just believe, if you believe, you don't get this at Walmart. You don't get this over the internet. You don't get the... You get this from God and the Holy Spirit in the world. Only believe. Stay enrolled in the Jesus Miracle Club. Hallelujah. I believe in miracles. Our precious brother Glenn Shin, a man that has helped churches and pastors been a church friend and a pastor friend has had his faith, they've had their own battle. But you know, in some surgery just a few days ago, there was a breakthrough. Praise God, he's seeing color now. And just keep him on your prayer list. Man, as one of the sweetest spirits I've ever known. He's a precious man of God. And he said, you know, it's taught me one thing. Thank God that things are as good as they are. You go 48 hours and you can't see anything in the process of your sight coming, you know. Folks, thank God you had legs to get here today. Thank God you had wheels to come. Thank God you have ears to hear. Thank God you have eyes to see. We have so much to be thankful for. Hallelujah. Join the Jesus Miracle Club, because even now, if you believe, you'll see the glory of God. Calvary Cathedral International, even now, after all the things that have come and gone over these many years, even now, if you will believe, all things are possible. We've just started to see what God's able to do. We're just warming up for the finals. We're just beginning to see what God... Oh, share this vision with me. Share this... Martin Luther King said, I have a dream. I have a dream. It's a Bible dream. It's a word dream. It's a faith dream. Only believe. I've been there so many times when it was impossible. And I often say, I'm human every once in a while. I stutter for a moment. But you know, I often say, it's just going to be interesting to see how God does it this time. He's a miracle working God. Because it's never too late with Jesus. I want to pound that in. I want you to get a hold of that. Write it down. If you don't have a piece of paper, write it on your hand. What? Some of you shake your hand. Half of my message comes off in somebody's handshake. It's never too late. It's not too late. Not too late. I still remember, God bless him, when I walked into Monning's, which used to be downtown, and I was so happy I was associate minister. I never will forget that voice from behind the counter. What you so happy about, young man? Well, you know, I was so in the spirit, I didn't even get offended. That's a good little insight there. He said, what are you saying? I said, well, I got to preach last night and we saw some people saved and God's really moving in our church. And he listened for a moment and that same sour voice said, well, when you've been around as long as I've been around, you won't be excited about it. Because nobody wanted what he had. Nobody was inviting him to come and share what he didn't have. And he was bitter about that. He had some kind of a disappointment in church or something. You're going to be disappointed around a church. Give me a break. I'm trying to warn you, the easiest place to be offended is in church. But the easiest place to get out of offense is in church too, if you just hear the word. God bless his heart. I mean, to my knowledge, I don't think the man ever had another opening. And I knew some people close to him. Some relatives close to him. He was just bitter to his death. You can get bitter to your death, or you can get full of the Holy Ghost and leave this thing in a blaze of glory. I'm still excited. I'm still excited. I'm still thankful. Mm-mm-mm. So how to raise the dead? A dead situation. Hey, this is not just window dressing. This is not just a sensational title for a message. There are things in all of our lives that are dead, dead, dead in the natural. But thank God, we can sing it, we can say it, we can shout it, we can embrace it. Only believe, all things are possible. Well, I was in the healing line, I didn't get healed. Watch it, you may be before, just check yourself when you get home. I've had a lot of people say, I thought nothing happened. You don't feel lightning bolts every time hands are laid on you. I like to feel lightning bolts too. Pastor J.C. Hibbert over in Dallas, he thumped me on the chest and said, Luke 8:50. I went over and he prayed this years ago when I had a challenge in my heart area. He just thumped me. He had big old hands. He thumped me on the chest and he said, Luke 8:50, and went on down the prayer line. I was so disappointed. Pastor of Gospel Lighthouse Church over in Dallas. I just knew he was going to say, thou young man of God, thou hast worked so hard. Thou hast labored faithfully. Oh, young man, God sees, God knows. Be comforted. No, he just thumped me on the chest. It took me 2 days to get over that. And finally, God said, what are you going to do with Luke 8:50? Fear not, believe only. I did, he did, and it's lasted till now. What are you going to do about the word? You ready for a bomb? Good bomb? 2 Kings 4. I thought this message was all in place, and I was rereading it, and the Lord directed me back over to 2 Kings 4. And I found a woman that blessed the man of God and invested in the ministry of a man of God. And then the man of God said, what can I do for her? What can I do for her? Tell me, what can I do for this lady? Well, anyway, you know the story. Most of you do have been around church. You know it as well as I do. So in 2 Kings 4, she wanted a son. And he promised a son. And a son was born. Are you listening to me? A son was born. A son was born. Hallelujah. I said a son was born. Well, I hate to tell you the rest of it, but the son didn't live. The story is there. And if there was ever a woman that could have been offended at the prophet of God, why didn't you leave me alone? I didn't have a son. You prophesied I would have one. I had a son. Now, it's all back to where it was. Now, I'm not playing with words, and I know that these are very delicate things that I'm saying, but it's just the word of God. And you know what she did? When that son died, the son, I don't know what age, but he was old enough to work in the field with his father. So he had some, probably a teenager, I would imagine. And so they were out in the field. And the son had a heat stroke of some kind. They carried him to the house, and he passed away. He passed away. Now, I want you just to kind of just listen to me here just for a moment. And so she kept him on her lap, and then the son passed away. She goes upstairs to the chamber that they built for the man of God, and puts the boy on the bed of the prophet of God. Is there any correlation to this? I think so. She embraces the promise, puts it on the bed of the man of God, and then closes the door and comes back downstairs. And she said, get me some transportation. Saddle up the fastest animal we have. And the husband said, where are you going? We have a problem here. We're facing a crisis. Where are you going? She said, I'm going to the man of God. And the instructions were to those who were with her, get me there as fast as you can get me, which of course is a type of the presence of God. You know what she said to her husband? Wife, why are you leaving me here in this situation? What in the world is going on? Have you no sensitivity? Something that touches all of our hearts here. Why are you going? She said, it shall be well. Okay. So they go as fast as they can go. While she's approaching the servant of God, the prophet of God, he said, go out and ask this woman, is it well with her husband? Is it well with her husband? And is it well with the son? And you know what she said? Listen to me, listen to me. Listen to me. She said, it is well. Now, the Lord nudged me, and probably in the past somewhere, I don't know, but it was not in my memory bank immediately. God said, check out well. Now, you know, sometimes we all get excited about a word, and then when you check it out, it's not that strong a word. Sometimes that every once in a while that happens. And I was getting ready to go to bed, and I thought, okay, so I checked out Dr. Strong. And wow! That word, it shall be well, later on, it is well, is the word shalom. I'm having church up here. I'm having church. Shalom. What the woman was saying before she made the journey, our son is happy. He has favor. He is healthy. He is strong. He is prosperous. Excuse me, not now, but it shall be well. Church, we've got to get a hold of this. We're not just living for today. We're living for the rest of our life. It shall be well. It shall be well. Regardless of how it is now, it shall be well. Shalom. Shalom. It shall be well. And then after she's had a chance to settle down, now, you know, women get all excited and get all emotional, more so than men do. Now she's had a chance to have a dose of reality on the trip to the prophet of God, and she's approaching the man of God. And this is ultimate reality because this is where the promise started. And the messenger said, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your son? It's never too late with God. It's never too late with God. Just tell the prophet, it is well. Shalom! You that go to Israel with us, they wake you up with a wake-up call. Shalom. This is your wake-up call. Shalom. 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 You hear it. Shalom. Shalom. You hear it on your entire trip. Shalom. Shalom. Happy, prosperous, blessed, peace, favor, healthy. You say, well, I just don't see it that way. Well, you're not going to have it that way either. Swing out on a limb with me now. That's where the fruit is, on the end of the limb, huh? Swing out with me. Dare to swing out. Regardless of the way things are, rejoice in the way that we're headed for things to be. See, I'm ahead of so many of you today. And I don't mean that negative, but every day we go into a bedroom and we say how it's going to be. I mean, how it is in the heart of God. Janet, it is well. You're healthy. You're healed. You're happy. You're prosperous. You're productive. You have favor. You're a healthy daughter. And until, listen, church, if I could get on my knees, I'd get on. We've got a future ahead of us. If Jesus tarries, that is absolutely awesome. And God's calling on us to get this mentality. It shall be well if anything's not right, and it is well. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the source of the prophecy, and then the receiving of the message that the prophecy had died, the promise is given, the promise dies, now returns with the woman, places his own body. You know, we're all interrelated, aren't we? I'm not talking about anything sensual. I'm talking about reality. Prophecy given, promise given, comes to birth. Prophecy dies. The promise seems to die. She prophesies, he may be dead, but it is well. It is well. Now the prophet of God places himself on the child. And before long, seems like you're hearing a lot of sneezing nowadays. I'm hearing some sneezing this morning, but it's not what's going around with the world. It's what's going around with faith people. There's a lot of sneezing going on. Achoo! Achoo! Seven sneezes. It's okay to sneeze in faith. You getting this? It's front rows getting a hold of this. Hallelujah. And you know, you say, well, come on now, Pastor. You're a little older than some of us. You're going to need this. Every one of you in this house is going to need this. You're not too young for this message. You're not too old for this message. You need this message until you draw your last breath and enter the presence of God. There are going to be opportunities of faith and finances and health and strength and relationships. I faced it all my ministry life. But you know what? Just hold steady in the Word of God. And just start saying it in your heart over and over again. It shall be well. And then if your faith will let you do it, I dare you to try. It is well. But you don't understand. You don't understand. This is not the way it is. But it shall be well. It shall be well. I said it shall be well. Oh, thank God. This is why I like for all of our volunteer workers, for anyone that does anything around here, you need to hear what the pastor's saying. You need to hear the message of the house. You need to hear what the pastor has to say. And what we're doing ceases to be important if we never hear what the voice or the pastor or the shepherd of the house is speaking from here. If God Almighty ever gave me a message, God gave me this message. I wrestle with it and wrestle with it. How in the world are you going to deal with what 50, I believe there's 57 verses in John 11? I mean, that's a lot of verses. How are you going to tie that all together? Where do you start and where do you stop? And I believe God just unfolded it to me that you know there is a need and you start calling on Jesus and you believe that death is not denial. You believe that God has miracle working power, and even now it's not too late for Jesus. Oh, you believe in the tender, loving, compassionate heart of Jesus. Jesus wept. And you refuse to join the critics club about anything. Don't be a backbencher. Be a frontbencher for Jesus. Join the Jesus Miracle Club. It's not too late. For even now, if you will believe, you will see the glory of God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. How is it, woman? It is well. But you don't understand. You're not facing reality. You folks don't deal with reality. Y'all are space cadets. No, we're not. We're word cadets. We're not space cadets. We're faith cadets. We're faith-believing cadets. Ooh. It is well. It is well. It is well. Say it. Believe it. Embrace it. No matter how impossible things may look, say it, believe it, embrace it. It is well. I'm coming out of this. I'm coming through. I'm coming out on the high side of victory. It's not a dream. It's not an emotion. It's not a cheap thrill. It's reality. It's not too late. Finish your education if that's what you're supposed to do. It's not too late for a good marriage. It's not too late for God to resurrect your finances. It's not too late. It's not too late for miracles to happen in your house. And as I've said for so many years, well, we don't love each other anymore. Let me tell you something. God can give you a greater love now than you thought you had in that barking puppy love to begin with. All you did was bark. Then you caught her and you didn't know what to do with her. Folks, it's time we embrace only believe, only believe. It's a pretty good dog reputation. Huh? Hallelujah. Only believe, only believe. Some of you that need this the most, you've listened to me, you've been respectful, and you've gone along with it, but please get this. If you don't need it today, you may need it tonight, tomorrow. You may need it next week or next month. Just embrace what I'm saying. It is well. In the face of bad news, in the face of what the doctor says, in the face of reverse feelings and inclinations, it is well. Oh, hallelujah. It is well. It's not too late to, listen to me, it's not too late to change. You know what a pastor faces? There's people around here that need to change. I'm changing. We need to change. We need to change. Well, I just did this with all my life. Don't you think it's about time you get off that? Get a smile on your face. Celebrate where you are. Rejoice in the souls that are being saved. Thank God that things are as good as they are. Folks, it's time to celebrate. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise be unto God. Hallelujah. Souls are being saved. God's turning lives around. The expense of, I think I know you well enough to do it. Manascos, could you guys stand up just a moment? This is at one time one of the most impossible marriages to ever get back together in the entire world. Would you turn around and give them that loving smile that you guys have? I celebrate with you. And God is no respecter of persons. God can revive your marriage. God can revive your finances. Thank you so much, guys. Oh, thank God. This is just one of the miracles that I reflect on from time to time. All things are possible. Hallelujah. So help me, I can't find the airport. I'm looking for the runway. Be of good courage. Smile. Rejoice. God's on the throne. Get a grip. Get a new grip. I'm Brian Nichols. I'm 80 years old. So is Caleb. But he said, give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. Whew. Ooh, I love that man. I love him. Every birthday, I love him more. He's a role model. Hallelujah. He'd make a young man tired. Hallelujah. Oh, but David, you don't understand. That's the biggest, baddest giant that the devil has. He said, no hill for a climber. You don't understand where me and my slingshot have been. You weren't there when we took on the lion and the bear and all the beast. Folks, it's time to celebrate all the things that God's brought us through. It's time to say, after all you've been through, and look at you on Sunday morning. Here you are in church on Sunday morning. Look at you. Celebrate. Well, Brother Nichols, nobody loves me. God does. I said, God does. God loves you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, you got me into this. Get me out. Whew. Oh, Father, I'm just asking you to let a cloud of supernatural grace settle over this entire congregation. The young, the boys, the girls, the teens, the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, whatever the age may be, Father, just let that sweet Spirit of God touch each of our hearts here this morning. Hallelujah. It is well with my soul.
With my soul.
It is well. It is well with my soul. If you believe it, stand with me. It is well.
It is well
with my soul.
Sing it with me.